At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome back to yet another edition of the Philly Pod. My name is Ryan Conway. I'm joined here by the illustrious Victor Williams and the one and only Stephen Conrad Jr.
Literally we only.
The only Stephen Conrad Jr. There's obviously another Stephen Conrad, but we're here after an Eagles Week 6 victory over the Browns that, you know, I feel like left us with more questions than answers. Vic, I want to start with you, man. What's going on? How you feeling? What's up?
How's it feel to be like the host for about 30 seconds of that show?
Dude, it fucking gets me
fantastic
going.
Intro.
I'm beat red right now. I'm overjoyed.
This man's flushed. He was under pressure. Yeah, definitely a lot more questions than we had going into this game. But I don't even know if a win applies to this game, because this is like a moral loss if there ever was one. You're supposed to blow out the Browns. But we were like 8.5, 9-point favorites. You're supposed to win by, we were saying on the preview pod, three scores. We edged it out by 4 points. And granted, the defense had a good game. They didn't allow any offensive touchdowns. The offense still didn't score any points in the first quarter for the fifth straight game now this season. The only team in the NFL not to do so. So there are still lingering questions, but they get the win. They improved to 3-2, and we'll break it all down. Lots to get into, from the offense, from the defense, to Nick Sirianni, to potential trade rumors. A lot of trades happening today. Kind of felt like the deadline with everything that happened today in the NFL world. And we will go over all that stuff. If you guys are new to the show, be sure to subscribe. Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews. Rate 5 stars. Each and every one does help the exposure of the Philly Pod. Bring it to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans. You've been doing a great job with that recently, especially with the addition of Mr. Ryan Conway. So he appreciates it. The most exposure he's ever gotten in his life. So he is, except for his occasional viral tweets. But he appreciates it. Steven always appreciates it. We all appreciate it here at the Philly Pods. Thank you guys for doing that. You can follow myself at the Philly Pod on all social media platforms. Follow Conway at Ryan Conway 76. Follow Steven at Steven Conrad Jr. That stuff is really a mouthful, man. once you get through all of it. So I guess real quick before we get to the analysis part of it, it is now, what day is it? Tuesday night. So we had a couple days to stew on it, to really go back and analyze it. I watched the All 22. I watched the broadcast copy over again because, not the most sober during the actual game on Sunday. Steven and I were at the tailgate, came back to my apartment to watch the game. So a lot of emotions were going on that day. Felt like could have at some point been Sirianni's last week if it went a different way, but they did pull it out. So Steven, I'll start with you before we break it down all analytically in the nerd stuff. I'll start with you, Steven. Your feelings about this team now that they are 3-2 and still behind Washington in the division, but they're not below 500. That was the fear. Like, if you go to 2-3, it's bad for optics. But how do you feel about the current state of this team as they stand coming off their victory against the Browns?
Man, this team, and I'm sure you guys can agree with me, is just putting me through it. This game, the experience watching it was not fun. It just sucked. I felt like I was just dying on the couch for like 2.5 hours.
That's called alcohol poisoning. That's what that was.
I don't buy that, because I've been hammered watching the team, and it's been the complete opposite experience sometimes. Now, let's just be honest, you know, it's the Eagles. But as I stand here 2 days later, obviously I've taken in everything that's happened. I've paid attention to the media, the conversation the last 2 days, and we're going to get into it this episode. But, the game isn't the biggest talking point this week, unfortunately or fortunately. I have my feelings about the situation. Obviously, I'm talking about Nick Sirianni. But you know what? This is my general takeaway right now. I'm sure you guys remember our preview pod for this game. We actually started the first, like...
It was like 5 days ago. How do we not remember?
10 to 15 minutes of the show.
I completely forgot, honestly.
Hey, October's been intense, man. But if you guys remember correctly, the first, like, 15 minutes of the show, we were talking about what happens if this team loses the game. Well, they didn't lose. Unfortunately, they didn't win in the most convincing way that we would have liked. And, you know, that upsets me, obviously. It upsets me they didn't score in the first quarter of the game yet again. But, you know, our quarterback didn't turn the ball over. That was like the next, or you could even argue, the most important aspect of this team, because I'm sure, Vic, you were the one who probably tweeted the stat out because you're the fucking stat guy. But what's the Eagles' record when Jalen Hurts has zero turnovers, if I'm not mistaken?
They are 11-1 when Jalen Hurts commits zero turnovers in a game. And their only loss, I believe, was the Tampa Bay game last year. Did he throw an interception in that game? In the wild card game? I don't think he did. I think that's the one game.
I completely blocked that game out of my memory.
I think so that's the one. I'll have to go back and re-verify. But I'm pretty sure he didn't commit a turnover. That's the only loss where the Eagles lost a game without Jalen Hurts committing a turnover. But they win more often than they don't. 11-1 when Jalen Hurts has no turnovers in a game.
So, yeah, I mean, I know I was rambling a lot there. But, you know, that's my takeaway. I feel solid about things. I will say, though... And, like, maybe this is a problem of me being too optimistic still about this team, but after everything we've been through in this era, the Hurts Sirianni era, look, we're 3-2. You could argue we should be 4-1, whatever. At the end of the day, we're 3-2. I would just rather not peak early, is all I'm saying. You know, last year we got off to that start.
I'll tell you,
10-1.
Far from peaking, that's for sure.
So it just kind of feels good. We're flying under the radar. I mean, we literally are flying under the radar. What?
Nothing going.
No. We're not peaking. You're right. So you're getting what you want here.
And you are
right about that. Just to quickly interject, you are 100% right. We've peaked early. You know, last year, and we saw how that went. Let's see maybe what happens if we get...
Are we going to peak at all this year? Are we going to peak at all?
Hopefully, we peak at some point. Maybe in January?
February, New Orleans?
That's the thing, though. Like, for as much as... Like, look, we started the season last year 10-1, and then it unraveled. I forget what... What were we? 1-6 or 1-7 end the season? Something crazy, right? Whatever it was.
We won one game to finish the year. So,
for as realistic... And maybe this is a bad question to ask you guys in this fan base, given, you know, who we are and what we've been through over the last few years. But, like, why couldn't this team have a crazy streak where they go, like, 7-1 in 8 games after starting off 500?
Well, like you said, we're a Saquon drop away from being 4-1. So Saquon catches that ball, 4-1. Right. You still got the next 3 games that we'll talk about later in the week with the Giants, Cincy, Jaguars. So you can realistically be 6-2 after that. So the run is still the run that you're desiring is still within play, but we would like to see it in more dominant fashion. This is a game we would have loved to see them come out, punch the Browns in the mouth, 14-0 before the quarter is over, and then it's 0-0. And for a lot of that game, for a lot of the first quarter rather, Jalen Hurts was 0-for-5 or 0 yards. We were staring at that stat in that corner for the entire first quarter, and me and Steven are looking at each other like, please don't tell me, bro. Like, Hurts is gonna have another awful game against this Browns team. Now, the Browns defense, for what it's worth, they're one of the top ranked passing defenses. Denzel Ward made it to the game, but they were without Grant Delpit and some other pieces. So, but this isn't a passing defense to scoff at, and Hurts had a very productive day against it, throwing for 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. By the way, his first game with multiple touchdowns and no turnovers since, I think, the Dallas game last year. So the first game he's had with multiple touchdown passes and no turnovers since, dating all the way back to, like, week 9 or whatever that was last year. So we're on the trajectory. We're on the up. But to your point, Steven, we would like to see more dominant wins, and we would like to see more concrete evidence that this team can string together wins, because we know that they have a tough time closing teams out, evidenced by all the ugly collapse losses we've seen dating back to last season. And they almost did it here, but they were able to pull this one out. You have a point, Steven?
Yeah, I'm sorry if Conway, you were about to chime in, but I'm just I'm just bringing up an interesting talking point. Last year, this was a problem, right? Every game was within 6 points, whether it was the Bills, like one of the better teams in the league, or we struggled. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, the Commanders took us to overtime.
Their last double-digit victory was against Miami last year, the last time they won by double digits.
Now, look, like, because we came into the season starting off so slow, the conversation in the media has been, it's Sirianni's fault, it's Sirianni's fault. They struggled last year, and they're still struggling now. But we have two brand new coordinators, all right? And perhaps this team is capable. I think we can all agree this team is capable of winning convincingly, but the reason...
Too talented, not
it's to. Not happened... And this is why I'm glad. I don't want them to have one of those, this is going to sound crazy, but one of those fluke lopsided games. Because the reason this team hasn't blown anybody out yet, let's just be honest, is because they're still finding their footing. And look, people are going to get mad. It's what, you know, preseason and training camp's for. They haven't found their footing or identity on both sides of the ball. Two brand new schemes. I get Sirianni still here. He has influence on plays, but it's a new scheme on both sides of the ball. So that's my thing. That's my point. For as great as it would have been for them to, you know, host the Browns on Sunday and pick Watson off 4 times, maybe one of them's a pick 6. Like, I want to see them win their way, like in their system, like the way they're coached. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Figure it out.
My question is like, what is their way? Because so far, the Eagles' way of winning games has been by the skin of their teeth pretty much every time. So, I mean, obviously we want, you know, if, you know, the Eagles blew every team out every week, I'd be literally in heaven. I mean, it'd be amazing. It'd be no stress. But, I mean, obviously you're going to have those tight games and things like that. But you run into games like this where, you know, last week I was bringing up the Denver game from 2017. That Cardinals game from 2017, you know, you want to see those big point totals. You want to see the defense really perform. And I mean, they gave up 9 points. I mean, if you give up any more than that to the Browns offense, that's a problem. If I'll be honest, like people are saying that was amazing. I'm like, yes, they were good. But at the same time, let's be real here about what was going on there. But in terms of the offense, I mean, obviously we're not firing on all cylinders, but we haven't been firing on all cylinders on offense in a year, right? Like we had last year where we went 9-1 or so and
10-1.
What? 10-1, and we were still like, yeah, we're not playing our best football.
Yeah.
So what is our best foot? Like there's a point. It's like, what is that? What does that look like with this team is constructed?
You have a seat.
So that's my question. And I think that they can get there this year if they, you know, if they remain healthy and if they can kind of sort out who's doing what. Like there is that big Sirianni question. What exactly does he do? We know he interjects himself into certain areas. Steve, I know you wrote an article today about Vic Fangio kind of clearing things up about where Sirianni falls on the defensive side.
Basically saying
side.
That Sirianni lied to the, yeah. to the media is what Fangio confirmed today. He
said. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Sirianni said, I made a defensive call. Fangio was like, you can't do that shit.
Wait. This is great because this got brought up in an episode with Conway too, by the way, when I made that joke about Sirianni going up in the press box
literally.
And yelling at Fangio. perhaps
he offered
it was just a
suggestion.
Lie.
He offered a suggestion that ended up being inconsequential.
Hey, look, I know it was the lowly Browns, and it's Deshaun Watson, who is just awful at quarterback. Like, I don't know. Based off what I saw, it looked like he blitzed a little bit more. The corners sure were playing up. They were playing up. Hey, I'm just saying.
It's something to work with. It's definitely a defensive performance to be encouraged with. We'll get into that in a second. Ryan, to your point offensively and finding the offensive identity, if I told you guys that the Eagles lead the league right now in scrimmage plays of 40 yards or more, would you believe me?
No.
What?
Well, they do. They have seven plays this season of scrimmage plays of 40 yards or more. That is most in the NFL.
Well, those, two of them are mesh concepts.
Don't matter. Don't matter. Goddard.
One to Devontae Smith.
And the Smitty one.
They've only, but you got to think, they've only had
the Barkley runs. There's got to be like
Barkley runs. They count. They count too. They count too. And then a couple of AJ players. But you got to remember that.
AJ underthrows, but we can get to that later.
Oh, we will get. Hold on.
Oh, it's got to be both.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait.
We got to break down the real shit here. Conway, you know what?
No.
I think he's just baiting you. It's not going to piss me off, but it's clearly getting under your skin.
Bro,
I was talking to Steve at work yesterday. I was getting to him a little bit.
I guess because you wouldn't.
Bro, you're telling me that touchdown throw to AJ was underthrown, is what you're saying?
Maybe.
To the naked. Don't maybe. Give me your opinion.
I mean, looking back.
No, be real. Don't lie to me. Don't fabricate it.
If I'm being 100% objective, looking at it, not being a complete troll, it was a great ball. Me wanting to
look like you're lying. You just look like you're lying.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
You lead him a little bit. He does. There's not a contested catch. That's all I'm saying.
But he's likely not staying in bounds if you lead him that far.
To be fair,
people are like throwing at the pylon. I don't think AJ's staying in bounds.
Of all the plays those two have connected with down the field, like, let's be honest, most of the time AJ has somebody draped on him. It's just the
AJ's capabilities better than AJ. AJ threw it to there, and there was two results of that play. A,
you mean
AJ's going to come down with it, or B, the DB's going to run through him and draw the pass interference. Those were the two outcomes of that play. And Jalen knew that, and AJ knew
that.
Underthrown bullshit. AJ threw. I mean, Jalen threw it like that on purpose. Don't give me that.
It was a strategic underthrow. This is what you don't.
All right, I can agree with that. I can agree to that. I can agree to that. Okay. It was intentional, strategic underthrow. That's fine. We can work with that.
Which is a real play in the NFL with the spot foul.
The greatest play in football is the intentional pass interference. The underthrown pass interference call. The greatest play in football. If you need 50 yards, underthrow that Hail Mary pass and pray that the defensive back yanks your receiver down.
Damn, did I miss AJ Brown and Devontae Smith?
Back to my point about those plays with 40 yards or more. We've only had AJ for two games this year, two of them, and
he's
still
insane.
Able to find ways. And to your point with the mesh concepts, I would run Smitty on a drag route every single play, every single time until they can't stop it, because the other receivers know how to run it without picking and making contact with the defense. And as long as you don't make contact with them, they can't call it. So I would run that play every single time. Smitty is unstoppable on those underneath crossing routes. I don't know why they don't do that. Our biggest plays this year have come at the result of those crossing routes. And Smitty runs them better than anybody.
Ran them a ton
in Alabama.
He didn't get
untouched until like the goal line.
He was jogging on his way to the end zone. Was that maybe Jahan Dotson that was running that cross?
Jahan Dotson's always the decoy on that play. And why defensive backs follow him? Because Jalen never throws to him. We'll get to Dotson in a second. But why defensive backs look at him and run over to Dotson? When
he's the Matthew Dellavedova of this team, dude. Just a scrappy.
The greatest decoy.
But you know what? That one time, he's going to be freed up.
They're putting in the legwork this season so that the one time Smitty's going to attract attention, and then Dotson's going to be open. He's going to take it to the house. They're putting in the legwork now. 10 weeks from now, don't be surprised when Dotson takes that drone to the house.
For 10 yards. That's a
very good catch. Technically, he had two, but one of them was a backwards pass that went for like 13 yards, and Dotson took that for a first down. He had two touches for first downs. I think Dotson is getting more and more acclimated to this offense. He had the one on the game-clinching drive, that really, really good sideline catch.
That was huge.
Where the announcers were like, I don't know if he got both. Clearly, he drugged the other foot, and the announcers were like, we need another angle. Jahan Dotson got both feet in bounds. Great throw, and I think that it is starting to instill some confidence in Hurts, and we'll start to see a little more Dotson. This is his I think it's his second week in a row. He's had three targets or more. So we'll take those. We'll take those.
We're
with
getting
Jahan
there.
Dotson. We're getting there. It's work in progress. He got here late. It is what it is. But go ahead, Conway, with your point. We rambled off for long enough. Your opinion, your take on the current state, before we break down the offense and the defense, your take on the current state of the Philadelphia Eagles following that game.
Just the state of the team in general. Mm-hmm. I'm completely unmoved by the performance that I saw on the
field. You don't feel better or worse than you did.
I don't feel better or worse. Okay. It was nice to see, you know, Cooper DeJean get a sack, first white boy in the corner spot to do it in like 20 years. Read all about it on thelibertyline.com.
did you write that or no?
No, Brian Cast did. My
your cohort.
Good, my good friend and confidant.
You saw him at the tailgate too, by the way.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah,
gave me a high noon.
So what was nice for me was I was sitting on my couch alone, dead sober, watching that game.
That sounds
good. And it was...
Maybe we should go over there. See, because Conway every week is like, whoever wants to come through, and then like nobody ever comes.
It's not every week. It's not... It's, the first
it's been the last like three.
I have an idea.
It's the first time I said anything this week.
No, you said it when we came back from New Orleans too, I think.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about
I can go but find it. It's definitely... This is definitely at least the second time this season.
You can go ahead and pull the chat. You can go ahead and pull the chat.
I got receipts. That's fine.
Point being...
Yeah, we're supposed to be a team.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
What's going on this weekend? I'm not going to get an away game, right?
Yeah. We're going.
We got the bar draw, remember?
We're getting on the Fans of Philly bus, and we're going, and we're tailgating.
Nope, last time. Nope. I don't need to be anywhere near. I don't need to be anywhere near East Rutherford.
No, God no. But point being with the Philadelphia Eagles is that, I mean, yes, there were some encouraging signs on both sides of the ball, but it's really yet again, I kind of got to see what we do next. And I kind of got to see what we're getting out of Nick Sirianni and this offense in general in terms of identity, but then also Nick Sirianni as a head coach. Because at the start of the season, he really was kind of like almost sedated. Like they had him on some kind of drug. I mean, he's looked like shit the entire season. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. He does not look good.
You notice that? I didn't notice this at all.
He looks like how Doug looked in his last year. Like Doug,
it's like when you're president
year.
Of the United States. Like look at Obama
by the fourth
from
year,
like 08 to 2012. Forget 2012 to 2016. Now Obama looks great.
I will say I mean maybe it's because I listen more now because I'm on the road a lot. So I listen. It's not necessarily a lot of watching that I do with these press conferences. And maybe it's just my frustration with the team, but I do find myself tuning out like majority of the stuff he says at a press conference.
Yeah.
Because
I'm in that same boat. But
it's a lot of meaningless platitudes. It's a lot of coach.
He yaps for so long. It's like 8-minute answers to simple questions. Like I don't need the whole family tree answer, bro. Just tell me like what you're gonna do to fix the problem.
Genuinely, I think maybe Howie and Jeff had to have him getting shot up with some kind of like Brave New World type drug where he's just like. You know, in a daze, and I guess they missed a dose this week, and he went completely off the fucking rails.
You might be on to something.
Right? Like, because we haven't, that shaved head comes out. Like, I don't know if they took him to a lab and ran some tests. I don't know what the hell's going on. But I like, you know, initially I thought it was embarrassing him yelling at the fans. Probably not the best way to go about it, but that kind of energy is what we know him for. And it just kind of, I don't think you can really rally a team if you're not being fully authentic, to who you are.
Who was he yelling at on the field? Was it Greg Newsom on the field? He was yelling at one of the Browns players at some point.
Yeah. He was jawing with a couple DBs. I don't know who exactly. So I like that. And then obviously it didn't.
My thing with that, wasn't he like trying to, check Jalen Carter about that in the Saints game, like trying to calm him down for yelling at players on the field. And now Sirianni's in the stands, bro.
At the same time though, like. That could get him a flag. That could kind of fuck shit up towards the end of the game.
Was over,
like,
bro. Game was over.
Oh, it was over.
You got protected from a fine, I guess.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, you got a rookie contract, bro. Can't afford it.
Dude. Well, he's not a rookie now, but he had a rookie contract.
Still on a rookie deal. Yeah.
Rookie deal. Point being is that, you know, this kind of insane energy out of Sirianni, I think, is because you saw Brandon Graham loving it. Now, Brandon Graham loves to run his mouth. So I don't know how the whole team feels about it, but. Having that kind of energy, like
Brandon Graham,
Oh,
they love it when Brandon's. Well, he's on the field, like
that's what I'm saying.
And he's the only guy players, Sirianni, fans.
BG loved when Sirianni was yelling at. Like, if you look at the clip, BG's laughing. Is like point. He's like
at the end of the Browns game. Right there. BG was in the clip. Oh, bro, I didn't know.
Yeah, like smiling, laughing at Sirianni, giving him shit because I'm sure he heard what they were saying.
And we saw a Reddit user trying to say like he was just it was just like fun and games or whatever.
Fraud.
The case is. Not really.
Fraud.
Not really.
Fraud.
I think Sirianni somebody called in to WIP as well. Somebody called in and said, "Hey, I was the guy. Just want to clear the air, whatever the case may be."
Yeah, like whatever. I mean, yeah, go ahead, get your 15.
It's not the greatest optics, though. Not the greatest optics from like the camera cut, and he has the ear to the thing, like, "Yeah, motherfucker."
Yeah, like not exactly the reaction.
But they were, for the record, they were booing him. There was like fire Sirianni chants. It was, and then when you call
at halftime,
and if you. You know, in the game, the way you did on that ballsy call like that, you can
exactly. You know,
jaw
you can
up
a little,
bit,
a
little
what
a
for?
Little bit.
I don't want to see it every game, but you know, maybe this kind of
it would have been cool if they won by like few scores, not by edging out the Browns by 4 points.
Oh, yeah. If it was shitty at halftime and then we end up winning by 20, just stomping on them in the second half, I mean, I wish he'd go in the stands and beat the shit out of somebody. I think that'd be incredible. But I genuinely like that out of Sirianni. I like the energy. Yeah. I thought it was a little embarrassing with the time and place, but this is who he is. If you don't like that as Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman,
other fan bases like, look at this fucking clown.
You're not going to be successful with that guy.
How do you think Lurie feels
in the
about
locker room?
Lurie watching all that stuff and waking up the next day and seeing the people saying whatever about Sirianni. You think Lurie
he probably gave him a little talking to even to start the season?
He apologized the next day, didn't he?
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think he said something to him, but so I think where the energy was directed is wrong. But I think. I kind of love it at the same time. Yeah. Like I initially hated it. Now I kind of like the Sirianni villain arc, but I think that this is the best way forward for him and for the Eagles. I think he kind of withdrew at the start of the season because he didn't want to lose his job. He was
trying to find a role still. What am I doing? How do I do this? How do I,
exactly.
What can I do on the sidelines?
I think now's the time for him to just go completely fucking insane.
Just lose his mind on the sidelines.
Yeah. I think it's time for him to go and say, you've got Fangio, you've got Kellen Moore, you've got a coaching staff around you that knows what they're doing. I need you to show up like the guy at a Mad Max, just yelling, witness me, and like huffing spray paint. Like,
all right, so how about this? I promise we'll get into the actual game in a second, but I've seen there's a lot of discourse surrounding Sirianni bringing his children to the final press conference.
Oh, forget
at the
that,
end of the game.
Fun. Well, yeah,
they're trying
mean,
to
that,
say he's deflecting blame. He's trying to dodge the tough questions by bringing his family up there and making it weird. And a lot of the veteran reporters weren't happy about it and saying like, oh, like we're not able to ask tough questions because you brought your family up there. It's not the time or place for that. Miss Sirianni misread the room. He thought it was going to be a celebratory tone, and it was actually more of a. Why did you only beat the Browns by 4 points? It was more concerning tone. So I wanted to know your guys' read on him bringing. I personally don't care. So I mean, I'm not a parent, so I can't voice about how people should what can or cannot do with their children. But I assume he wants his kids a part of situations of him and his coach, and he wants his children to be able to experience things throughout his career. It doesn't bother me personally, but I see a lot of people are bothered by it. What is your guys' read on Sirianni?
Well.
Allegedly deflecting blame by bringing his children to the press conference. Again, I mean, because I don't believe that. But okay.
The problem, and I'm actually kind of split in the middle here. I obviously understand the terrible optics of the situation. Like, obviously, he's had his kids up there before, but it's not like a weekly thing. In fact, it seems like a rarity. And the timing of it's kind of crazy. So obviously I understand the conversation behind it's like, dude, you're just using them as a shield.
Yeah, you didn't do it all year. Why not?
And obviously that creates a tough situation for reporters, by the way, who could have had some more daring questions.
You want to slander the coach in front of the kids?
I don't know. I'm not.
Although
here to
somebody
the
did ask him about like acting childish in front of his children.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
No, that whole could. I can't ask him a tough question because there's children.
Oh yeah, I mean
room.
I'm not. Yeah,
I know that's not what you're saying, but you know that's what reporters felt like they couldn't do, and the reason that they felt like that is because they're all bitches.
Tommy would have been up there like, "Why are you a fucking idiot in front
no
of his
balls?"
Kids?
I would have asked the kid a question: how do you feel about your dad being a fucking lunatic? Did you know your dad doesn't call fucking plays anymore? Like,
yeah, so that's a great point. So to add to that, I see the other side of this situation potentially even more because let's just think about that day as a whole. I'm not sure if he just got up that day and decided to shave his head. I don't know when the shaving of the head actually happened.
How was that not a question at the press conference, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, that's actually a great question.
There was more pressing questions.
It probably would have made
your
the
fucking
kids
haircut,
laugh if they asked it.
Not at all.
But and we can go down that rabbit hole, by the way.
I asked him, like, why can't you score
head?
In the first quarter? He was like, guys, we just won. Guys, come on.
Guys,
just
my
won.
Kids are here.
So that's the thing. And you're coming off a bye. Sirianni's storing all these emotions inside. You win the game, and obviously he lets it come out at the fan, whether it was in a
crying, dude.
You know, in an aggressive way or whatever the case may be, or if he was hyping up the crowd. I don't know. I don't know if that Reddit thing was real, whatever. The point is, he had a hell of a day. Like, I don't think it was like some light bulb in his head after the game and everything. He's like, oh, man, the media is going to slander me for that. I'm going to bring my kids. Like, I think he might have just generally been fired up. Like I said, long, crazy day. I don't know if he got up and shaved his head that morning, but what a day he had. That's all I'm saying. Like,
that boy poured the Walking Dead fucking shave your head. Gotta do it. Gotta get it over with. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, but personally, I don't care. Bring kids, whatever. It's, I mean,
what you can't ask I don't really, a man I don't really, a question in front yeah, of
like,
his
I don't,
kids.
Like, I guess not. I guess not.
How today. Big of a coward do you have to be to not be able to ask,
ask
a
the
man
old heads,
a question?
Dog. Ask the old heads.
Because his kids are there. Oh, no. It's like he brought them in there. You have a job to do. Don't blame him because you're too soft to do it at that point. Like, if you have questions, fucking ask them. Like, that whole thing is completely embarrassing. And I understand I'm not an actual reporter. I understand that I'm not in the room. I probably never will be.
For good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. Because maybe because I'd actually ask him a question in front of it, be like, hey, how do you feel behaving like a complete lunatic in front of your children? Is that a good example to set? Now, looking back on it, I love it. But also bringing, you know, with four kids, that's a little nuts. Bringing four kids. A lot of
went
kids
went to share the victory. He thought,
wasn't even big enough. He had to stack them up. Yeah,
I think it might have been a case of he thought it was going to be a celebratory like tone, and it wasn't that. I think he thought like everybody was going to be hyped, like, hey, scary, a good win, and it wasn't that.
No,
so I think Sirianni might have been called a little off guard, like, oh, y'all are pissed at me. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
But I wouldn't put that past him. I really
I never
wouldn't
considered
put
that
past
that.
Him.
I never even considered
I think
that.
That's what it might have been. I think he thought they were going to come and pop in bottles, bring the family, all this. And he goes in there and they're like, dude, what the fuck? He's like, whoa.
And he's
bro.
Like, oh.
Oh. Because every question they asked, he was sort of dismissive. Like, what do you mean? We won the game. What are you mad about? And they were like, nah, bro. Like, you still can't score in the first quarter. What's going on?
No, this is Philadelphia, not Jacksonville.
Yeah,
okay,
sorry,
we have actual
bro.
Questions.
We're not, be happy because you beat the Browns by 4 points, bro.
But yeah. Turn
at the end of the day, don't care either
turn
way.
Turn the page on
kids.
That. Don't care. Yeah, the don't only care. Thing that pisses me off is journalists tweeting about how it made their job so much harder. Shut yeah, up. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Ask what you want to ask, bro. Ask
coward.
So can we agree, though, that like, and I'm not just being a prisoner of the moment here, but this,
I am strictly a prisoner of the moment. So let me hear it.
I get caught up in it too, man. It's a tough lifestyle, especially being a Philly sports fan. But look, we previewed this game. Speaking yeah, thank God. By the way,
I would have pitched myself off the fucking Walt Whitman Bridge.
Oh my God.
I was seeing
yeah. Don't
I,
even.
I would have. I was checking.
That would have
in.
Capped this October. I would have said cancel October forever.
Yeah, that'd have been but, it. That'd have been it for me.
No, this feels like a very pivotal moment we're at right now. We all went into that Browns game feeling like it was a big game because it's like you're coming off the bye. It's the only bye you have the rest of the season to get this thing right, and you're playing a weak opponent at home. Healthy squad back, obviously. Some key guys down moving forward, but you get the point. And then this Nick Sirianni thing happens, you know? And I just think this is a very pivotal moment we're going to look back on. And I just hope it resembles the flower
speech. The flower
speech in a way.
That's where we're heading.
And
flower
you know
speech.
What? You can say whatever you want about this guy. You can feel how you want about his actions and everything. But, I mean, he's fucking committed, man. He is passionate about this thing. He had to remind the media, by the way. That was what I got from it. He kept reminding the media how much he loves this game. He kept saying that.
Because he knows it might be his last year fucking coaching the team. So he's like,
go down swinging, man.
Granted, bro. He's going down swinging.
Go down swinging.
He's going down swinging. He is certainly doing
that. The difference
that.
Is it's not Brian Johnson and Sean Desai as your coordinators.
Brian Johnson looking damn good in Washington. So,
all right,
he's not doing
shit. Just kidding.
He's not doing anything.
Steven rolled his eyes to the back of his fucking head.
Yeah, dude, I almost just snapped my neck.
Oh, man. Hey, people want to see the Commanders over us right now. We're getting flexed out of games and shit nowadays. This is what happens in your ass.
That's crazy.
This is what happens in your
ass. I don't mind that one bit. We had all that media attention last year, and look what happened.
Now we got five straight 1 o'clock games, man.
Love a 1 o'clock game. Yep. Put us in that 1 o'clock.
They want to watch Jaden Daniels fucking Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow showdown. We want Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. That's where we're headed.
I agree.
I'm seriously. That's where we're at. I don't blame you. I don't blame not this current state of the Bengals.
As a fan of the game,
or
the
agree.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, 30 minutes in. Well, we haven't talked to any really X's and O's. Well, not that we do anyway.
Yeah. But, X's and O's, who fucking
Well, Sirianni
cares?
Doesn't either.
Sirianni doesn't either, apparently. But, yeah.
Our team doesn't care about X's and O's.
I want to
Out
talk
of the bye
about,
week, you can't complete a pass.
I think the most discouraging thing for me is that the Browns were like, third straight road game. You're on your third string center. You're down Nick Chubb. Jerome Ford left the game early. They're down to their third and fourth string running backs. I really needed them to blow out this team, like in their current state. But
no.
From what we did see offensively, I think there is good building blocks there. Hurts, like we said, no turnovers. He finished the day 16 for 25, 264 yards, two touchdowns, 126.1 passer rating. And I see people putting out like AJ Brown's route charts rather, and it's a lot of fly routes, a lot of go routes rather. But I want people to understand that Jim Schwartz's scheme employs a lot of single high shell looks. They're pretty much daring the Eagles like beat us over the top. And that's what they did. So they basically took what the Browns presented to them and capitalized on those opportunities. And I think we heard that Jalen Hurts checked into that last play to AJ Brown, the 40-yard that sealed the game. I think Jalen Hurts checked to that at the line of scrimmage. He saw something. He said AJ can beat this guy one on one, hit him downfield, and that was the game. So good read on that by Hurts, if that's the case. I think that's what we were able to gather. And A.J. Brown's return, 9 targets, 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. Devontae Smith also back, 4 targets, 3 catches, 64 yards, including that long touchdown on the crossing route that we mentioned earlier in the show. I want to give a quick shout-out to Grant Calcaterra because that man can move faster than I anticipated. I did not know. Dallas Goedert left the game early with an injury, actually. To this point, have we heard anything about Goddard?
He's on my fantasy team. I'll check the blur.
Yeah, find out. Because I know Mailata left with hamstring. Slay left with knee issues. I haven't gotten word on Goddard's situation yet.
Mailata's on crutches. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Leg sleeve crutches. He has a hamstring situation. He's going to miss a few games. But Calcaterra, 64 yards. That man was moving. I was surprised to see the speed out of him. And Hurts is certainly looking his way a little more often. So I like what I'm seeing from Calcaterra. We definitely need Jalen Hurts. If Goddard is going to miss time, we need Hurts to look at these tight ends because he certainly didn't do that last season. Jim Schwartz dialed up the blitz against Jalen Hurts as well. Hurts was 6 of 12 for 105 yards, and both touchdowns came against the blitz. You have information, Conway?
Yeah, Dallas Goedert did also suffer a little hammy situation. Yeah, so status
AJ Brown
for this
just
week.
Came back from hammies, man. Y'all got to stretch. What are we
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, dude. Nobody's stretching. Nobody's stretching.
Fucking stretch.
Big Dom told them all not to stretch.
That's what it was.
Words coming out of the Nova. That's news. Breaking news coming out of the NovaCare complex.
Per ESPN Fantasy, right?
Per ESPN.
Whatever. We got to focus on the game.
Big Dom, when Sirianni was going crazy. That's
he was literally
want.
Right there.
He was right there. He was just like, yeah, man, I can't control this. This shit's just off the rails right now. Forgettable game for Saquon Barkley for a number of reasons. Only 47 yards on 18 carries.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, I'm not forgetting shit about that.
On that drive before halftime. This is where I think they could have won by multiple scores if it wasn't for whatever the hell this last drive was.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, swing pass to Saquon Barkley. On 2nd and 1, Saquon catches it and darts out of bounds like they have no timeouts and they have like 3 seconds on the clock. They have all timeouts. They have plenty of time. This man caught that shit and ran out of bounds before he went to the first down marker. Nobody in front of him. So now it's 3rd and 1. They hike the ball. Saquon lets JOK run right past him. Sack on Jalen Hurts, -8 yards. Jake Elliott now has to come out for a field goal longer than anticipated. Gets blocked by Myles Garrett. Rodney McLeod takes it to the house. It is now tied. And I'm like, there's no fucking way we're about to somehow lose this game off of some shit like this. That's a 14-point swing. If Saquon gets that first down, I'm almost certain they score. 14-point swing. Now you have no points out of it. They took the other way. 10-10, I think, was heading into halftime. And not good stuff. Not good
Completely
stuff.
Completely
so easily
deflated.
Easily the worst Saquon game.
I'm going to say it right now. I don't trust Saquon and short yardage situations.
Oh, my Jesus.
Oh.
It seems like every time he's involved, something bad happens. I don't know what's up with him. He's uber talented, but I don't know, man.
What, like running directly into Vita Vea, dropping pass against the Falcons to ice it, and then this year, kind of high leverage, short yardage, running. Here's the thing. He's never played meaningful football in his life. Is the pro, or at least in his NFL career, he's never played meaningless football or meaningful football. So I think he's just used to those plays not really mattering. If that makes sense, like he can just kind of go out.
Good point.
And I'm not saying that this is a conscious thing that he's like, I'm good. Like, but it might just be something worth noting.
Well, that's what I mean. He's uber talented, so he's used to like making big plays and not have to think about it because he's just using his athleticism. But on these,
yeah, and he was playing on the Giants. So
he's like, "What are you doing? Why are you running out of bounds?"
Yeah, no reason for that. Just bad awareness.
Yeah, that was a bummer. It was a bummer. Not even an iota of a chip block. Not even a crumb.
Yeah, he looked at him when he ran past him. Was like, "Oh my god!"
He's like, "Oh my god, that guy's so fast.
That guy's fast. What the hell?
Oh my god, I would hate if he hit me."
It's literally what it was. But not a good
game.
I'm not blaming him for his lack of rush yards or whatever the case. No. Like if you're going there,
I'm blaming him for the reason why that drive ended the way it did.
But yeah,
no, 100%. That's on him. That was great. I got a call from my dad at halftime, as I do every week, and I just pick up the phone. And he just goes, "What the fuck?"
Like, yeah. My favorite thing to tweet when shit like that happens is that Doc Rivers one where he's just standing there blinking with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Just
can't
that was
that's literally my reaction when I'm like, what?
That's when you know the fan base is down bad, is when you've tweeted that. I'm just
they got
like,
booed at halftime, fired Sirianni chance. I think I tweeted like, this is Sirianni's last game. Like, this is it right here. This is where it ends.
I'm just screaming alone in my apartment.
I shut down. I don't think I tweeted once during the game. Yeah. Like, I just shut down mentally.
That was rough. Thank God the second half went the way it did, because I want to know what the halftime speech was. Sirianni, like, you guys want me to fucking lose my job doing bullshit like that? That's what's gonna happen.
What would you have done if he shaved his head at halftime?
Shaved it even
so
further.
He had his normal hair.
He had a hat on. He had a hat on at the day, so we couldn't even really see it. So.
Didn't Jim Harbaugh do that this week? Didn't he come out in new pants or something? He poop himself.
No, he left because he was having arrhythmia. He had irregular heartbeats.
That's what I have that sometimes too. I'm sticking around. I
mean, that's when the Chargers coach did it. Had that.
No,
issue.
Yeah.
John, yeah. He left because he had irregular heartbeats. Shit himself.
I don't read anything outside of Philadelphia. Did Harbaugh come out in new pants? Somebody did tweet that,
and you inferred that he shit himself.
No, that's what speculation was saying. We can cut this out, right? We can cut this part out.
No, this is everybody can just know you're a jackass. By the way, for the listeners,
this is an Eagles podcast.
For the listeners, in case you weren't aware, I'm racist and I hate white people, says Twitter.
Yeah, so, no, Victor Williams, known hater.
It was because you were not a Wentz supporter. I tweeted for the OGs. They know I defend the Wentz until my last dying breath, until he was here. Not my dying, I'm still alive, but until my last breath of when he was around, I defended once. And when I tweeted the clip of AJ to that touchdown that everyone swears is underthrown, I tweeted, this is what you call elite ball placement. Everybody's like, oh, it's underthrown. It's not elite. AJ made a play. He bailed out his quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody was tweeting it. He was like, you're only tweeting this because he's black. And I was like, what? And he was like, you literally hate white people and hate white quarterbacks. And I was like, bro, how did you arrive at this conclusion? What evidence do you have to arrive at this conclusion?
Who knows?
And I love Carson Wentz. And then he was like, yeah, dude, you probably hate Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship. And then people are like replying to tweets of mine of Cooper DeJean, like, you're literally wrong. So that was funny. So known racist. Idiot. Known racist hosted the Philly.
Known racist Victor Williams.
Known racist Victor Williams. Any final words on the offense before we flip over to the very impressive defensive effort that we saw? Welcome back, AJ. Welcome back, Devontae.
Thank God they're back, and hopefully they can kind of figure out the offensive brain trust with the play calls and the routes and everything.
We saw some Kellen stuff.
Kellen did have a quote today talking about how it's like a collaborative process.
Yeah, really excited about it. All of us is involved and all this.
They've done an excellent job.
Yeah. Says who?
Oh yeah, this is what he said. He said every process is different and we go about it as a collective group. We do an excellent job It's been a really fun process here as we kind of build, ultimately focus on what the 2024 Eagles put in the best position to be successful. I think saying that we do an excellent job might be the funniest fucking thing I've heard out of any Eagles coach so far this season. Because, you know, no, you don't. You don't do an excellent job. You don't.
We saw Hurts talking with Kellen on the sideline. Remember, I think, Steven, we saw Hurts talking about Kellen. We're like, oh, him and Kellen, hell yeah, we need that. Yeah. Stay out of a Sirianni type of shit. We saw him talking to
this was a bad game, too, I think, to be able to get an idea for what the offense... Like, it just seemed like they kind of ran... Yeah, there was some Kellen stuff, but they didn't use, like, a lot of motion. It kind of reminded me of the offense last year with all those deep shots we saw.
There's a lot not to cut you off, there's a lot of screenshots going around circulating Twitter of route charts from last year and route charts from this year that look very similar.
I hope that was just this matchup. Like you said, it was Schwartz defense. So
yeah.
I hope
scheme dares people to throw deep, so they had
But you know what, man? For the offense, like, I see a lot of Eagles fans, and look, I get it, but there's a lot of Eagles fans I see on Twitter, you know, complaining that are like, I sit here and watch the Lions offense. They got motion every play. They do this. They do that.
I'm very jealous of what the Lions
are doing
right now.
So. That's cute and all. That's great.
Flea flickers to Sam Laporta.
But they just scored 47 points. So it's like.
On Dallas at that.
For me, I don't need Kellen Moore to run motion every single play. I don't, like, whatever. My thing is, you can't score 0 points in the first quarter. You got to start the games off faster. We say, hey, we ask each other. I don't want this to be the conversation all year. I know what the identity of the Eagles offense is. I'll tell you right fucking now. It's Jalen Hurts playing within the system and making those Superman-like plays every now and then, but not forcing it, not turning the ball over, and having some sort of balance run to pass ratio. And oh, and also, you know, playing above the rim every now and then with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, because we're just better than everybody.
There is a point. It's okay to lean on talent. You can't do it all the time, which we kind of became guilty of last year.
Last year they were becoming very reliant
on high end talent to bail us out. And yeah, it's great to have high end talent. It's great to have two of the best wide receivers in football. But you can't just chuck it up every time. Every once in a while, I think we had a decent mix of that here. Decent run pass balance. And yeah, Jalen Hurts not being Superman. Now, granted, some of his mistakes have come not really trying to be Superman. Just
he was very accurate this game. I liked what I saw from him this game. Very accurate. Made good decisions. Probably felt great that he had his two top guys back.
This is going to sound crazy, but like, he could go games without having to be Superman.
Yeah, the offense is too talented.
That's what I mean. So, like, you know, if there's not a play that really sticks out to you this game, I mean, fine. Look at his stats.
He even looked good as a runner this game, too.
We need a little more Brock Purdy out of Jalen Hurts. We need to just exist within the system and execute.
I understand.
And then turn it on. And then kind of, you know, you can elevate.
Purdy has never turned anything on ever in his life.
Exactly my point. So we need a little bit of Brock. We need a little bit of Mahomes.
Speaking of the Lions, Ben Johnson obviously didn't get hired as a head coach last go around because apparently he wanted too much money. Whatever money he wants, he's getting it this coaching hire. Ben Johnson.
That's why I brought that up.
Somebody's gonna hand him that blank check to come coach that team, and it might be us. Just kidding. Defensively, Vic Fangio, good job on you. He's starting to adjust a little bit. We saw some things better out of Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff getting some pressures. Okay.
Yes.
But I think he got some stats. Logged a couple. No zeros across the board.
No fucking way.
For Bryce Huff. They allowed zero offensive touchdowns, so good on them. Even on the final drive there where Cooper DeJean made that touchdown-saving tackle on Elijah Moore, they let some plays squeak by. They let some big runs go by. Some plays to Amari Cooper here and there. But they held pat, only allowed field goals, and for the most part, had a very good effort. Quinyon Mitchell probably should have had his fourth interception on the season, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson decided now was the time to have a pass breakup. So that ruined Quinyon Mitchell. Quinyon was not very thrilled. I think at some point, I forget who had asked. One of the reporters had asked Quinyon, what did you say? And he was like, I'm not telling you what I said to him.
he was going insane on him.
Quinyon's a quiet guy, so you know when he's like, lashing out. He's probably
he
like,
did. Man. He was like throwing his hands up and doing.
He knew
shit
he
a
had
couple
it,
times.
Bro. He knew he had it, and
he's
he
awesome. Can we be honest? We got a gem. We really did.
Oh, for sure. We got both, gem, both of them. And both of them.
He's the leader of that defensive.
Oh
backs
yeah, great debut
unit.
Game.
What? He's the leader of the. He's the leader of the unit. We got.
He's a Cornell's a leader on that defense.
Right? He is.
He literally
is. I'll just say right now, I was happy to find out Darius Slay got hurt. I'm like this. I trust.
Oh,
this
that's
team.
Not
oh,
nice.
Oh
my god, bro.
That's
oh, he didn't
nice.
Wait to hop on that stupid podcast with Michael. I can't do it with him. I'm sorry.
I actually am. I think I might be done. this has nothing to do with on the field play. He had a decent game before he went out.
Yeah, that's all
sure.
I'm saying, man.
No hate. Granted, decent game against the Browns is like me, I don't know, being able to cross the street unassisted. But, you know, it's like you should be able to do that. But there are circumstances where, and you guys know this better than anybody, where it's hard for me to get from point A to point B.
Oh, we know.
we'll leave it at that. We will leave it at that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's I'm not gonna say I'm happy that Darius Slay is hurt because I'm not.
Yeah, you know what? I apologize.
Yeah, that's good. Fucked up, dude. That's
I wasn't rooting for the injury. I was just like,
you're just a racist piece of shit.
This dude said he was thrilled. He said he was thrilled.
I'll put it this way.
I was over the moon.
I'll put it this way. I don't need to deal with his nonsense with all the while this Sirianni stuff is going on. That's all I'm saying. And also, he shouldn't be a captain. That's all. Good player shouldn't be a captain. I think he should revoke the C on his jersey.
You gonna strip him of the C?
You gonna do it personally? You gonna do it?
You gonna do that? You gonna go in?
I was kind of sick they took it away from Smitty though. I was kind of sick about that.
Yeah, let's take it away. Yeah, that
they didn't
makes
give it to Smitty.
Sense.
They gave it to like Mailata. I think. I think they gave it to Mailata instead. But
he deserves Mailata.
Slay's last year. What are you gonna do? Let him
give Quinion on the C, dude. Right?
Oh,
now.
He'll have
I'd give
year.
Him
I'm
the C right
there.
Now.
I'm here happy, and his draft mate.
And honestly, I'd probably give it to Nick Sirianni for turning this defense around.
Yeah, because he made the defensive calls, right?
He's making defensive calls.
Fangio literally said, I mean,
you know
he didn't
what?
Make
I'm
any calls.
Say,
he made
I
a defensive
it?
Suggestion,
I'm gonna
and it
say
ended
it,
up
guys.
Not mattering, is what Fangio said.
I think
funny.
Conway's on the same level as me, but yeah, don't get me started on that, by the way.
He's falling on the sword for no reason. You don't have to defend your coaches, bro. Let them take
no,
the heat,
he does
whatever
that.
They did. You don't have to fall on the sword for your coaches, but this isn't like high school football. Like let your coordinators take the heat for what they're doing, and they're grown men.
Don't like
Fangio was like
actively,
80, bro. He's like 80. You don't need to defend him.
Don't actively throw anybody under the bus. And be like, I don't know what the hell Vic was doing. That guy's a moron. But at the same time, be like, our staff made a decision. It didn't work out. We're gonna address
this
it.
Man raised the hand
forward.
And said, "I made a defensive play call."
Like,
no journalist believed that. No reporter believed that. None of us believed that.
He's like, I personally told C.J. Gardner-Johnson to lay out Quinion Mitchell if he had a shot at an interception.
Oh, my fault.
And we were talking
oh,
to him in the preview.
Yell at me.
We were talking in the
Yell
preview pod, dude, that was gonna. This was gonna be the game where Quinion.
Oh,
was his first
that's
pick,
right.
And he got robbed by that.
It. Robbed of it.
Lunatic. If anyone on this team is a complete and utter lunatic, it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
C.J. had a pretty good game too himself. Made some good.
No,
plays.
Yeah, he had a very good game. He had a great pass breakup on his own teammate. But no, he. In all seriousness, he had some good, you know, some big tackles, some big pass breakups, you know, just good coverage altogether. There was another play where he just kind of stood there.
It happens.
While the receiver ran
him
by him
for some reason.
I'm like, dude, you're so nuts. You like love contact, but then the second like it's you one on one, you just are just like, wow, that guy's
speaking of
like
just
Saquon
standing there.
In the backfield.
Speaking
he's
of just standing
like,
there, how many pump fakes is N'Kobe Dean gonna bite on, bro? This man, N'Kobe Dean, and he got like stiff armed by Pierre Strong, and after that was the play that Keely Ringo decked him on. But
we got some small guys on defense.
Yeah,
N'Kobe's undersized. Nolan's undersized. Good Nolan game. Good Nolan game.
Good Nolan game. But there was a moment where I was like, wow, he's small.
Yeah, he's tiny. He's tiny. He's tiny. So we'll finally
get to, I mean, if you can play, it doesn't matter. Obviously, I don't care about the optics of it if you're making plays. He had some plays.
Just imagine how big they could be when you have
Jordan
Davis
like
and Jalen Carter.
Does that make
front.
Sense? Does that
say what?
Well, because he wears glasses, dude. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Jacked Erwin. Some of his teeth, too. I don't know, something
oh,
like
my
that.
God. Quinion's draft mate, Cooper DeJean, in his first start. Very, very impressive. He played, I think it was 91% of the snaps for Cooper DeJean. He had 6 tackles, 2 QB pressures. He had half a sack. He combined on one with Bryce Huff in the sack sheet. He would have had 2, but he decided to like throw a shoulder at Deshaun Watson by his own end zone instead of wrapping it up. So kind of like threw the shoulder, ran right by him. So yeah, we need to start wrapping people up. But played 52 out of 57 possible snaps and only allowed two catches for 13 yards while in coverage. So this pretty much confirms my theory that he would have been starting week one if he didn't get injured in training camp, and there was no reason to, at any point, to play Avante Maddox. I think Cooper DeJean, without any knowledge of the playbook, is better than Avante Maddox this juncture. So very impressive things that we saw from Cooper DeJean. He'll be starting moving forward, and he and Quinyon look like the future of this secondary, guys. I think at some point they might have to pull him from punt return duties because he does so many things for the defense. But that's a issue.
Yeah, I would do that right now, actually.
But your guys, yeah, initial thoughts on what you saw from Cooper. Ryan, you can go first.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was kind of the start that I wanted to see out of him. I thought it was, like I said in the preview. Not the game where you go, wow, he's the answer to all of our problems in that moment just because of who we're going up against, but very, very encouraging signs, the exact kind of start you want to, you know, starting in that position. So very happy with the results from him. That whole moment with him and Quinyon swapping jerseys, very cool.
That's awesome.
Very, very cool. Love that. Kind of, you know, love to see that.
Tugged on the heartstrings a little bit. Tugged on the heartstrings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit. Get a little misty in here.
Got you. Allergies. But,
yeah, for sure. Dude, seasonal allergies. No, but it was all, I mean, yeah, it was a great game from him. Nice to see him lay the boom every once in a while, because especially in a defense like this where, you know, obviously we had our corners playing up a little bit more in this game, like you said, but, you know, in a defense where you're having your guys play off a little bit and kind of conceding that short field, having a guy that can come in and actually make a tackle is kind of huge, kind of like a very important point of that defense. So he is, you know, if he can keep this up against offenses with actual players and actual scheme and everything, like, I'll be, you know, over the moon. But this is a very, very good sign for him and very, very good sign for the defense for sure.
Mm-hmm. How does it feel to have the younger forming AJ Brown, Devontae Smith of the secondary? That's what I'm seeing right now. I don't care what I'm just gonna say.
I like it.
Just gonna say it. The reason I say it is because that duo, this amazing wide receiver duo that we have, came after years and years of suffering at that position. And obviously we've had Slay over the years, but honestly, it's been suffering with him off the field, as great as he may be on the field. But my point is, they just finally have two young guys who are just fucking good at the position. Like, obviously they have a lot to learn at the next level, but they're both, I mean, obviously Cooper DeJean, but they're both stud athletes. Like, they both tested great everything. They have all the measurables you could want, but they're just good freaking football players. Like, you know what I mean? That's why they both should have been, you know, Cooper could have been a first round pick as well. So that's just how I feel about it. I mean, you know, it's not one of those things where I'm trying to say both are going to be, I mean, you know, because AJ is a top whatever wide receiver. I'm not saying that, but it's rare to have two young studs in the secondary, I feel like, in today's game. It's like the hardest position to play. It really is.
Yeah, the Eagles never luck out at that position. They tried with Sidney Jones. They took him because he fell because of his injury, but he had all the traits you could want. It's been a while since the Eagles have had a young contributor in the secondary. Like, it is shades of Lito and Sheldon when you go back that far, when you have these two guys that are contributing the way they are. Quinyon only allowed one catch on six targets for 10 yards in that game against Cleveland as well. So he just keeps every single game, he's showing you more and more why he was supposed to be a top 15 pick and had no business falling to where he did. We're more than happy that he did, but again,
by all means,
again, no business he should have fell that far. And Cooper should have been a first round pick himself, but the injury leading up to the draft caused him to fall, and the Eagles happily moved up to go get him as well. Now they got two cornerstones of that defense that look like they'll be able to come up together, play together, and they obviously care for each other, and that goes a long way, especially when you play the defense. We finally got some pressure on the quarterback. Again, albeit against the Browns, against a quarterback that tends to hold on to the football and is just not playing good at football anymore. But the Eagles only had six sacks through 4 weeks of the season. They had five on Sunday against the Browns. So regardless of the situation, that is something to build on. Nolan Smith had one. Jalen Carter had one. Milton Williams had one. Cooper, Bryce Huff, Thomas Booker, Milton Williams all had half a sack. Josh Sweat seems to be coming alive a little bit. Second straight game with a sack. Josh Sweat had one sack, one tackle for loss, two QB hits, Jalen Carter also had 3 QB hits himself. So we're getting there. We're getting there on the front. Again, it's the Browns, but this is stuff you want to see. And if you can't do it against the Browns, there's just no hope. So at least we're starting to see some type of production. And more importantly, we're starting to see something from this investment we've given to Bryce Huff, who looked like he just didn't know what was going on. It looks like he gave Fangio something over the bye week, like, hey man, put me in 3-point stance and stop having me stand up. And I think that his get off is starting to show more and more now that Fangio is starting to play him the way that benefits him most. So I think that was taken into consideration as well.
Absolutely. It's huge, especially, you know, when you go into a situation where, I mean, as a defense, you're expected to put up multiple sacks against a team like this with a quarterback that physically just appears like he can't move even remotely. You know, you're going to be expected to get pressures. You're going to be expected to get sacks. And so the fact that they went out, they did it, they've proved to themselves that they can get pressure on the quarterback, that they can hit the QB. And that's, it's kind of like putts in golf or 3-point shots. You know, you got to see a few go in before you can be like, all right, I'm confident. Now I think, you know, obviously football is a completely different game, but, you know, the mental aspects there where it's like, all right, I've gotten in the backfield, I've laid the boom. You know, I can continue to do that moving forward. And especially for Bryce Huff, because if you, once you get pulled into that vortex of, I have no idea what's going on, I'm a complete and utter loser. Like, I'm sure he wasn't feeling himself, you know, going into the bye week. He's like, what the hell am I doing with my life, let alone my career, if I'm playing like this, dude? You know, it, huge for him to, you know, get in there and actually have an impact on the game for the first time in his Eagles career. I'm not going to say that this is going to be the complete, you know, cornerstone for him to, you know, turn the season around and become our best defensive player, or, you know, or our best D line. No, I'm not ever going to say that, but it's given us encouraging. It's encouraging for him. It's encouraging for everybody. So hopefully he uses this, you know, in the film room, in practice, moving forward, going up against New York. You know, hopefully, you know, he can kind of take that and build off it for sure. But just the defense in general, dude, my boy Hurricane Milton getting in the backfield again. I mean, that's my guy, bro. Baby Aaron Donald since day one.
A little too soon, bro. Dude, literally, baby Aaron Donald. I wrote about it when he got drafted. He tested. He had the same combine.
No, 100%.
Or pro day.
So
results,
yeah, I mean, it's good to see those guys get involved, especially with this year of turnover at the defensive line position. It's important to see. So, love to see it.
I go with Steven, your opinion. I'm trying to get past the Hurricane Milton thing.
I'm sorry. That's where my head went. I saw you guys laughing. I mean,
I told Steve that if he got a sack, I'm making Hurricane Milton shirts.
I do remember this.
Real quick, Moro Jomo got in the backfield too. Good on him. Just remember it as you said that. Go ahead, Steven. Your thoughts on the defense and the pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, I'm encouraged. I've obviously, some changes were made over the bye week. Anytime you can get Bryce Huff to do anything on a football field, you got to give kudos to the defensive coordinator, I'd have to say. But anyway, I just hope, and again, it was the opponent. We expected sacks, like Conway said. They got them, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and complain. Like, there was a part of me that was like, oh, I could see the Eagles getting maybe 2 sacks. Like, yeah, this, we got no pass rush. They got 5. Mm-hmm. And got a little creative with it. So I just hope, you know, it continues from a production standpoint. But I also hope Fangio, you know, he has some tricks up his sleeve, you know, like use Cooper DeJean, like he's a weapon. You know what I mean? Like that's why I kind of compared.
They blitzed that man off the edge, Cooper.
Yeah,
a number
that's why
of times.
I compared.
They blitzed him 3 times, I think, and he got 2 pressures on them,
which is crazy. Like we've wanted corners and guys in the secondary you can just cover. This guy might be a wild card. You can do a little bit of. Mm-hmm.
Wait till Sidney Brown comes back. He'll be flying all around with those guys.
Yeah. So, maybe I'll like that guy more then. He'll be able to play. Yeah,
you don't want. You're not a fan of Sidney Brown. You think he's. What did you call Sidney Brown not too long ago?
Oh, I called him the Matisse Thybulle of the Eagles defense. He's just trying to make highlight worthy plays. He's flying around, but he was like undisciplined. He was missing tackles and stuff like that. Blowing coverage.
Sidney Brown's a guy I don't even think about. So,
oh, you will be.
Hopefully,
you will be.
I'm looking forward.
You're gonna be
to
like, oh, remember this guy? You thought about him on that pick six, even though we lost.
And
that
all I remember Eagles that. Twitter was like glazing him. So I called him the Matisse Thybulle of the Eagles.
You know who was glazed worse than Sidney Brown as far as safeties are concerned?
Stop.
Because he was drafted from the same school as Brian Dawkins.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
dude, the master
else.
Lock, dude. The master lock,
K master lock, bro.
Dude, I thought he was the true
Kayvon Wallace. Was gonna be, and they were saying he was the next Dawkins, bro. That's what they were saying.
Kayvon Wallace, the master lock.
Mm. What were we?
Oh
thinking?
My god,
those were the days. Oh.
Those were the days, man. What a time.
Those were the days. Good defensive effort by the Eagles against the Browns again. Would have liked to see a more dominant win, but a win is a win, and they all count the same in the win column. Eagles are 3-2 heading into next week's matchup against the Giants. We will come up here later in the week to discuss that matchup. It looks like Andrew Thomas is out for a little bit, so both teams will be without their left tackles, and we'll talk about all the matchups. First, Saquon's not his homecoming, but I guess his revenge game and all the props we should be smashing for that game, especially since he was a non-factor in this game against Cleveland. Any final points, boys, before we put a bow on this one?
Not,
I have my liver.
Really?
My liver's still intact really. After the weekend. So
I'm good after this weekend. I'm looking forward to us taking on the Giants. Obviously, we'll chop it up on the preview pod and get that taken care of. But, you know, all in all, a win is a win. And
yeah, it is.
I'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Nick Sirianni, really, I trust.
What's Nick Sirianni doing this week? What's he doing? He's gonna get like a sleeve tattoo next.
Dude, they're gonna wheel him out on the field in a straight jacket and a muzzle like Hannibal Lecter in Silence.
He's gonna come out in the dog mask. He's gonna come out the dog mask, bro. Be like, I don't, we're dogs, hungry dogs. He's gonna
enter like Brian Dawkins. He's gonna crawl out on the field and
hey,
go
man.
Nuts. Go absolutely
don't,
fucking
you can't
nuts.
Lie. When we were winning games, you guys were eating that shit up.
I'm still eating it up. I don't. It doesn't bother me. He can act
that
however
slow,
he wants.
That was only slow mo camera pan in the NFC Championship when we were blowing the doors off the Niners. Come on, man. You were eating that shit up. It was great.
I was eating that shit up after the Chiefs game. Chiefs.
Are you
fans.
Guys tied with the Browns at halftime?
No, but weirdly, as annoyed as I swear to God, I drove in to work on Monday irritated. I'm like, I want this guy fired. I think I told you when we were watching the game together, Vic. I'm like, I'm just done. I'm done with this.
I mean, at halftime,
yeah,
I was
not
like,
happy on Monday.
Yeah, this
but
is
Tuesday, today, geez, what a long day. I don't know. Day. I find myself wanting to go to war for this guy now. Like, I want him to be my boss. So I think I get it in a weird way. I think I get it.
No,
I think the whole children thing is just a little overblown. Like, man, this man got shredded for bringing his kids to the dance.
That's dumb. I will tell you, if there was an NFL coach that could be played by Tim Robinson in any
who the hell
in,
is Tim
some
Robinson?
Sort of Tim Robinson,
who was that? An actor?
He's like, yeah, actor, comedian.
What's he
like
in?
Absurd.
What's he in?
He's got the show like I Think You Should Leave. Like, there's a lot of like he's in a lot of memes.
Are these
on,
like are these like white movies
on Twitter? What
white movies are they?
I mean, there's one where he made a show with a black guy. I mean,
all right, now we're talking. No one racist.
But at the same time, like, you know, sometimes black people are in white shows and then, you know, black people still don't know about it. I was listening to a whole thing about this. So, yeah.
In what sense?
In what sense?
I'm trying to figure this out.
I don't know, dude. It makes sense, well, right?
Okay, I got to look this up. What's this actor's name?
Tim Robinson. You'll know his face when you see it. He's all over Twitter.
Oh, come on, Vic.
I know this guy. Hold on. Let me look him up. Listeners are probably like, damn, this guy doesn't watch
it's
TV.
On.
I know what you're talking about, by the way. The other one.
Oh, I've seen him before. I get it. Oh, yeah. He's in everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. He's
I'm not good with names. I'm not good with acting names. I'm not like, I'm not a TV guy, really.
No, he makes a show called, he's a big Lions fan. He's a Detroit guy. He's called
I'm still buying into the Ted Lasso thing. That's still the best one.
No, Ted Lasso.
He was winning when he was winning. And he was like nice. Now he's like, now he's kind of, now he's just a jackass to media. And he's like, guys, we won the game. What are you grilling me for? My kids are here. Shit.
Yeah, guys. My
kids
are
here. Where's the cake? Can somebody get them snacks? Like, what are we doing?
Somebody pop some Martinelli's.
He expected to walk in and get the fucking bottle.
That's
yo,
so
yo,
funny.
Yo, don't lie.
I'm telling you that's what happened, bro. He walked out.
Yo, I'll tell
like,
you
hey,
right
we
now.
Won. Come on.
No,
and
listen.
The reporters are like, no, we are fucking ass.
I'll tell you right now, though.
Everybody's pissed.
If coming off an Eagles win, if you could party with anybody on that team, you're picking Nick Sirianni. Think about
picking
it.
Brandon, I'm picking Brandon Graham. I'm picking Jalen Hurts. Oh, what's this thing about, real quick, before we leave? What's the thing about Jalen Hurts having a kid? Is this real?
I have no fucking
idea. What are you doing? Are you on, like, Hurts Reddit now? Or
no,
what?
No. Somebody. Well, you know who tweeted it? Steven, your favorite NBA reporter.
Yeah. NBA reporter. Who?
Scoop B, bro. Scoop B put out. He was like, Hurts has a newborn, and you guys are dragging this man. And everyone's quoting it like, oh, my God, Hurts has a kid. He's hiding kids like Drake. Oh, my God. It's a whole thing.
This is the guy. This is the guy we're talking about.
Him. Yep, that's him. He's plugged into the NBA. NFL, I don't know.
He looks like a fat Nolan Smith.
All right, on that note, guys, thank you for listening to this edition of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher,
iHeartRadio.
That's
the clip right there, by the way.
Anywhere else you get your shows, be sure
to
rate
Conway,
reviews.
You created our moment.
Rate 5 stars, leave those reviews.
Yo, we need a side-by-side of... I know what he's talking about, because Nolan Smith wears those glasses.
He does, bro. Bro, I wear glasses.
Yeah, but it's they're very distracting.
They're like the thick.
I understand. They're like, wait, let me.
That picture of AJ Brown as a kid.
Yeah, and Vic, you have,
you know,
like
that one picture of AJ
Brown. You have like proportions. Like you have a set of hair on your head. Like these guys, you know,
these boys, these.
And
glasses.
You have a beard,
no, but they're even thicker.
Oh, I got a beard. That increases my drip. A little.
You know, you have stuff going on. Like, you know.
Oh, shit.
Damn, when you flash drip. Mr. Potato Head in front of me, and then he puts on those big goofy glasses, of course you're gonna notice them.
God. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Do the same if you want to. At this point, Ryan Conway 76 on Twitter, Stephen Conrad Jr. on Twitter. Sixers basketball next week. We'll see if Paul George is able to suit up. It's only a bone bruise. Mother, thank Christ. Because if it was anything more of that, you would have had to find
man.
Me. You had to find
Paul
me.
George. Zestiest injury of all time.
Yeah.
Popping
not
that
the greatest,
ass to the
camera.
Let's not play
not
NBA preseason when there's 82 fucking regular season games.
Bro, he wants to get acclimated with the team. Yo, Tatum and Jaylen Brown just played 28 minutes in a preseason game.
Yeah, they're young and spry. Paul George has had like 8 ACL
resurgence.
You know, what am I saying? Whatever.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. That is bad. Woke that up on here to talk
the
about
same
the
day Embiid comes out and says he's not playing back to backs. I hate that organization.
If it's the Bucks or Knicks or Celtics, he'll play in it.
Embiid shouldn't even play till after the All Star break.
I don't think he needs to play a period. I don't think Embiid needs to play a period till the playoffs.
They got Drummond and Bona who can play big.
Yeah, and they got fucking Maxey who can see now because he has braids and not the dreads. He said that. He was like, I can see the court now that the hair's out of my eyes.
Did he really say that?
He said that. He literally said
that's
that.
Funny.
And they got that young,
he's going to be dropping 42 a game.
They
now.
Got that young oh, TikTok superstar from Duke.
That's like Jameis Winston getting LASIK surgery.
And then proceeded to throw like 5 picks.
Dude, it was never the eye
side. I will say, if Jameis played that game, we lose. We lose that game if Jameis. I saw him in.
Yeah.
He was in because I subbed him in for like a play. And I was like, oh my God, we might lose this game. I thought he
was
in for good.
Ballistic.
I thought he was in for good. All right, y'all. We'll catch you on the next edition of the Philly Pod later on the week. Talk about the Giants game. But until then, peace out from the Philly Pod.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already. Changed my life.
I wasn't expecting it to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it. And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.